Welcome back to the Back to Work Pistons pod. We're done with our hiatus. We're back after our 2 week long break.
Yeah, sorry guys about that, but we had a break from school. I was out in the wilderness without any service for a week, but we're back.
Back and better than ever, man.
As always,
I'm Zach.
And I'm Plaque.
Let's get back after it.
And hey, guess what? The season started.
Dude, it really has.
You know, for being a basketball podcast, we haven't been doing a very good job of talking about basketball since the season started. So we got a lot of stuff to talk about in today's episode.
We do. Quite a bit to break down.
Yeah, so the Pistons have played 5 games with a 4-1 record, which I recently learned about. So for those of you who don't know, I was in the wilderness of Acadia National Park for the past week without service. So I watched, I watched our first game against the Brooklyn Nets, and then I watched this most recent game against the Celtics. Everything in between was a complete mystery to me.
Yeah, I watched every game. I watched pretty much all of every single one of those games. So I've seen everything come to life, where Ben kind of hasn't. He has a very good excuse, though. He was doing service, you know, for the National Park Service. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so quick shout out to those national parks out there. But anyway, so the original plan for this episode was going to be, since I was without service for a week, I was going to kind of, Zach was going to come up with scenarios, and I would have to guess if they were real or not real. But we ended up going to the game in against the Celtics in Detroit this past Saturday, and so some things got spoiled for me there, so we unfortunately had to scrap that idea.
It would have been such a good idea, though. It would have been a lot of fun. I would have been like, true or false, Blake Griffin put up 51 points against the 76ers.
I mean, I definitely would have said false to that.
Of course.
If you would have given me that, like, Andre Drummond got ejected, though, I probably would have believed that.
Oh, absolutely.
Because, you know, him and Embiid kind of have that pseudo rivalry. It's becoming real, I guess.
Pseudo rivalry. It's a rivalry, yeah, and I'm loving it.
They kind of hate each other.
They do.
But, alas, we're here. We're going to talk about some things that we've seen, some things that maybe we think we're going to see in the future, and then our overtime topics. Both a little fun today.
Yeah. Well,
I think mine's a little more fun this time. We kind of switch it up the roles a little bit.
Yeah, so what's yours?
Simple and easy. If you could have dinner, if you could have dinner with anybody in the NBA, who would you have dinner with?
It's an interesting one. Mine is we're going to be just kind of discussing our opinions on the one-and-done rule and what we think should happen.
Lovely. But before we get to those topics, let's talk about our Pistons.
Oh, man.
And I guess we might as well just start with the beginning, the first game that we watched with each other against the Brooklyn Nets. And so, yeah, the first game of the season, we got the dub. Didn't really look too convincing, though, in my opinion.
Absolutely not. Definitely wasn't very convincing. I was only able to watch like the last quarter, I think, just because I was in class. But yeah, the part that I watched, just our offense didn't look great. Nothing was very fluid, and they barely got the win. So I don't really have a lot to share from that game just because I didn't see much of it. But
yeah, one of the other like Detroit podcast that I listen to, I think they put it pretty well, is that that was a pretty standard Detroit basketball game. We're up a lot at one point. We lose the lead. Looks like we're going to lose the game. Come back up by a couple, close at the end of the game, all against just a really bad team that we should be blowing out.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Nets. You should be able to pulverize them.
But at the end of the day, they got the win. Wasn't pretty, but they did it. And so it sounds like that's kind of what happened a lot while I missed, too. So we beat the Bulls in Chicago.
Which was basically the exact same game as the Nets game, like except for the fact that it was like Zach LaVine kind of going a little crazy. Zach LaVine played really well. I'm really liking my most improved player pick.
I was going to pick him if you didn't, so congratulations. But, yeah, again, it looks like, you know, Griffin had another good game. I was surprised by how well he was shooting the three, was what it seemed like.
Yeah, he's shooting 56% essentially from three, which is obviously not sustainable. But if he can you know, be anywhere close to 40%, that is ridiculous for him. Because we don't think of him as a three-point shooter, so that's extremely dangerous.
No, definitely not, and you're right. That's ridiculous that he's at 56% right now. Especially just because I'm going to reference this a lot in this episode, I feel like, but the only gameplay that I have to go off of right now is the Nets game and the Celtics game. So in my mind, I'm like pushing panic button, like, we suck, what is going on? But our record's 4-1, so I can't be that concerned.
Yeah, but, you know, I think about our record right now, and then I think back to last year. We started out the season really hot. They were like, what, 10-2, 10-3, or something like that. And they were in first in the East for a little bit. And we made a video where, like, the clickbait title was like, are the Pistons for real? Or, like, are the Pistons legit or something? And I was banging the drum big time. And, you know, I'm just trying not to get ahead of myself again, because I know deep down the Pistons aren't a 4-1 team. Like, they are, like, kind of cheeks. You know, like, they're not very good. So,
no, I mean, yeah, I 100% agree with that. Like, I'm definitely not getting ahead of myself this season, because, like, looking at the numbers that we're putting up and looking where we, like, rank within the NBA right now is that, like, you're right, we're not a 4-1 team. We're still probably in that, like, we're in the middle of the pack, maybe slightly above average, so we should still be contesting for playoffs. But yeah, no, we're definitely, this is not a sustainable level right now.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I wanted to hit on that I immediately noticed after the Brooklyn game was, the offense just felt very different than what it looked like in the preseason. Preseason, it felt very run and gun. We were getting, we were second in 3-point attempts for the preseason, and now we're sitting at right in the middle at 15th, only shooting 32 a game. I don't know. I thought we looked better in the preseason running that kind of just wild, fast offense. Now, especially when we were watching against the Celtics, we were just going back to our old isolation ways. So I'm struggling to see why we're reverting back to our previous stages on offense.
Yeah, I don't know why that would be happening, because it, like, that Celtics game that we were actually there for just, you know, like 48 hours ago or however long ago it was definitely really hard to watch just because of all the isolation. Like, we didn't watch them run a good play all night. It just didn't happen. The ball movement was horrible. Everybody was just playing isolation, just trying to break down their own guy. It was not working. It was horrible.
And I think that's kind of falls on Dwayne Casey a little bit. I don't know. Like, it just feels like there was a shift between the preseason and now. And we can talk about the defense a little bit. I think that falls down more to player effort.
Yeah.
But it seems to me that we're just not running the same system that we were in the preseason. And I don't understand. And I would think that falls more on Casey than the players.
Yeah, I mean, the offense, like I said, just looked horrible. And I don't understand how they got so far away from what they were doing in the preseason. Because, like, Blake Griffin and Reggie Jackson are both averaging, I believe, more three-point attempts per game than Reggie Bullock is, which seems weird. Also, Reggie Bullock has been playing horrible to start this year. I think he's shooting 30% from the floor and like 20% from three. Like, it's been atrocious. So that's definitely not helping things. But maybe Dwayne Casey after the preseason was like, you know what? I actually don't like what I'm seeing from the team by running that like new offense. Maybe he went back to the drawing board and like went back to this horrible offense that we don't like. Maybe that's what it is. And maybe he thinks that it would work better. I'm not really sure, but I'm not really liking it, because this is going to, I think it's going to kind of break us apart. I'm not liking it.
Yeah, because, I mean, I can kind of see why that might make sense, just because of the percentages were so low in the preseason. But our percentages right now aren't really any better. Shooting 43% from the field as a team, 33% from three. So, I mean, I think those are slightly better than what they were in the preseason. But yeah, I don't know. It's hard to watch basketball. I don't, was it like that in kind of the intermittent games that I didn't get a chance to see?
I would say that the offense in like the 76ers game, like that's the one that really sticks out to me. In the Cavaliers game, both of those, the offense looked a little bit better, but it still just wasn't like a really crisp, like run offense like you would expect. You know, like the reigning coach of the year, you expect to have like really well-defined, good offensive plays run. And I'm just not seeing a lot of that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to talk more about the Boston game since that's what's freshest in my mind. But I think that's a prime example of just getting outclassed and outcoached. The Celtics beat us by 20 with Gordon Hayward, Jason Tatum, and Kyrie all scoring what, like less than 15
combined
points?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it was combined.
It was that low. Like Kyrie had like 6 points, Gordon had around 6 points, and Tatum did as well. It was that low. I mean, we got like pieced by like Daniel Tice and other nobodies that were just going off on us. It was horrible.
Yeah, Hayward had 15, but then Tatum had 6, Kyrie had 3.
Yeah.
Like, granted, those players were all contributing in different ways, but I think that shows the system of Boston just outclassing the system of Detroit. Also, they're better players, but still, nonetheless. I mean, Dre was held to under 10 rebounds, and that was because every time we missed a shot, it was 4 Celtics and Dre trying to get rebounds. Andre had no help. They were swarming him on the glass, and I think that was an intentional game plan from Brad Stevens.
Yeah, and also, like, if the Celtics wanted to beat us by 30 or 40, they could have. You know, it was that kind of game.
Oh, yeah. None of their starters played more than 30 minutes.
Yeah, so it's like, if they wanted to win by more, they definitely could have. We definitely just got completely outclassed. I think Dwayne Casey right there just got completely bamboozled by Brad Stevens.
Yeah, and another thing I wanted to point out from that game watching, I think you even mentioned this during the game, is that, frankly, like the offense just looked a lot better with Ish Smith running it rather than Reggie. I'm not a fan of them on the floor together at the same time, because what happens every single time that happened, whichever one didn't have the ball up top literally just stood in the corner and did nothing. And so it's kind of redundant to have both of them out on the court at the same time, but is like unconventional, I got there, as unconventional of a player Ish Smith is, he kind of like makes it work in his own way. He pushes the tempo and he at least like gets stuff going, but I swear every time he jumps and makes a pass, my heart just stops because you're not supposed to do that.
Yeah, I do remember telling you that in the middle of that game about Ish Smith running the offense better than Reggie, and I really do agree with myself from Saturday night. Like, Ish Smith just seems to get the offense a lot better than Reggie does, and Reggie just doesn't really seem to want to put in the effort needed, especially from someone who's getting paid close to $20 million a year. I'm not liking the way that he runs the offense. I think if you ask other people who follow the NBA as well, whether they think that Ish Smith or Reggie Jackson is the better point guard for Detroit, most of them will honestly say Ish Smith. I think that's a pretty general consensus. But I think that's pretty sad if that's true, you know?
Yeah, no. If they're like paying attention and a competent NBA fan, they might definitely lean towards Ish, but yeah, I don't like saying that. I've never been a huge fan of Ish just because he is very unconventional. I don't know, something about I like more controlled players, and something about the way he plays just kind of puts me off. But I think it is undeniable the impact that he has on the floor for the Pistons, so I do commend him for that.
Yeah, I really do like Ish because he's able to push that tempo like no other player on our team can. Like, he's so fast with the ball, and he wants to get up the floor as fast as possible. That's what I really appreciate about him. And that's kind of where that running gun style comes from that we wanted to see. It's Ish being able to push that ball up the floor.
Yeah. Other than that, you know, like you mentioned, Reggie Bullock just was not impressive for me. Stanley had a decent game against the Celtics, but I need a bigger body of work until I'm ready to say that he's worthy of a contract extension. But I think that's to be expected. You know, everything we talk about today, they've only played 5 games, so like, there's only so much that you can tell from now. But just from what I've saw, the basketball that I've seen the Pistons played so far, there's more negatives than positives I've seen.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy that we're talking this way about a 4-1 team. I thought I would be more positive since they're 4-1, but yeah, you know what? Just like going to that game on Saturday and watching them lose that badly was just really frustrating. You know, that was really hard to watch. I'm like, you know what? Like, I paid a decent amount of money to get in the door of this place, and just to see the wheels completely fall off of this train was really hard to watch. Yeah, Ben, so while you were away, Luke Kennard also got injured. So Luke got a separated shoulder in the Cavaliers game. I didn't really see how it happened, but I know they're supposed to be out for at least 2 weeks, and then they're going to like reevaluate him after that. So that's going to hurt us, especially in that shooting department, because Langston has been kind of throwing up some bricks for us for sure. But he's a streaky guy. We know that. But I'm really not happy that Luke is going to be out because he's one of my favorite players, but he also means a lot to our bench unit for sure, just because he's able to spread the floor. He's kind of an extra playmaker alongside Ish Smith. So I think that his absence is definitely going to be felt.
I think we already felt it against the Celtics. Yeah, our bench is still super thin. It's still super bad. I don't know what else to say about our bench other than just not impressive. Glenn really has not been playing well off the bench.
Well, and he's barely played too.
There was a John Luehr sighting on Saturday.
Yeah, he finally got in the game again.
Semi glad to see that. Well, yeah, he's still alive. That's good.
Yep.
Don't know if he should be playing basketball, but I'm glad that he is alive.
Yep.
yeah, I don't. It's just really tough. I wasn't impressed with Zaza either. He was just on the court. I think at one point in the third quarter, I'm like, hey, he drew a foul. That's kind of like the only neutral thing he's done so far.
Yeah, you did say that.
I don't know. I'm trying not to be super negative just because of what I've seen, but it's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And looking forward at our upcoming games, we have Boston. It's really weird. We're repeating 3 out of the 4 teams we've already played. We're going Boston, Brooklyn, Philly, and then Miami at home. I mean, Boston and Philly, 2 tough games. Brooklyn played us close last time. So I don't know. We're definitely going to come back to, I think, Earth soon.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting because what really killed us last year was when we had tough stretches. We did not do well with multiple hard games in a row, and that's really where we started to fall off. And so I'm interested to see. It's good that we started the season on a good run because I think we're going to need a lot of these like 3 or 4 game winning streaks to kind of maintain relevance this year.
Yeah, definitely. We've definitely struggled with those like hard road trips in the past. I remember one last year where it was like we had to go to the West and play like 5 straight road games against like the Nuggets and the Timberwolves and a few other like contending good Western Conference teams. I'm pretty sure they lost all of those games.
That's when it all. That was.
Yeah, that was when it.
When we started that streak, I think we were at like the 3rd seed or something like that. And then after that is when it just all came down.
Yeah, it all came off the rails. And I'm afraid that that's going to happen again this year. But who knows? The one positive that I've really gotten from all this is that Blake Griffin looks like an absolute superstar again. Like, he's doing it in different ways. It's not just like straight up dominating people with his physicality and his like leaping ability and that kind of thing. But he's doing a lot of little things that are really good. Like, he's made some really good passes to Andre that people have noticed. I for sure noticed that in the 76ers game. He's being unselfish with the ball for the most part. The Celtics game, he was kind of being a little selfish at certain points. But even then, I feel like he didn't get enough shots. It was just weird, you know?
Yeah, I have a hard time believing that he's averaging 28 just from what I saw against the Celtics, because he was absolutely atrocious. But I don't know. The numbers say he's playing well, but if he can't do it against the best competition, then what is he really? But, I mean, I would say that the chemistry looks good. They're having fun out there. That's something that you couldn't say a lot at times last year. Last year was just kind of like a grind, it felt like. You know, you were laughing at like the pregame huddle on Saturday when they were all doing their introductions.
Yeah.
You know, they're having fun with each other. It seems like a good cohesive group. Cohesion only gets you so far in the NBA, but mm-hmm. I do think it is an important factor on some level.
Oh, it absolutely is. I mean, cohesion, it's one thing to talk about analytics, you know, and then really diving deep into that. But at the end of the day, this game comes down to the players and how well they're going to perform against the best competition. And a lot of that comes down to how well they get along with their teammates and how well they play with their teammates. Like, you can't just, I mean, like, this is kind of like talking about like Moneyball for the MLB, you know, it's like one thing to put together all these players that should supposedly be able to play really well together, but that's not factoring in those personalities. They have to actually get along with those people. And it seems like that cohesion's there. So like, that's a positive as well. I'm just hoping that that kind of stays that way and that they can remain positive about the game and that they're like not going to have some kind of meltdown, because that would be bad.
Yeah. Do you have much else to say, I guess, so far about the Pistons?
You know, not really. It's been just really weird, you know? Like, that 76ers game, I was on such a high note, and I couldn't talk to you about it. It sucked. I was like, who am I going to talk to about this? So then I tweeted on our Zach and Plack Twitter account. I was like, build the statue now. Blake Griffin's our savior. I was just hoping for some replies. I was like, I need to have a conversation with someone about this. So, yeah, I was really mad I couldn't talk to you about that game, but otherwise, it's been kind of a grinded out games, you know, so not much to talk about.
Yeah, in future weeks, hopefully I'll have more to say because I would have seen more, but yeah, I was just out in the wilderness being with the trees and whatnot.
Being with the trees, I love it.
Yeah, so in future weeks, I'll have more to say about our gameplay. But so far, from what I've seen, it's kind of hard to imagine us being 4-1 right now.
I know, and I'm not much help this week either, because I just wasn't very impressed by them. Like, I would have hoped I would have been more impressed since we're 4-1, but I'm just not. So I'm having a hard time coming up with like good things to talk about in relation to the Pistons. So this week was tough.
Yeah, you know me, I can come up with bad things to say all day long.
Oh, but yeah. But that Celtics game kind of destroyed us.
I talked pretty much for 15 minutes about the Celtics game. Imagine if I would have saw the other games.
Oh, God. I don't want to know. But there were wins. Like, it was a little bit better because I actually grinded them out.
Right. You know? I could have at least said some positive things, but right now there's really nothing positive that I can say. But that doesn't mean that they don't exist.
Indeed.
All right, should we just move into our overtime topics then?
Yes, I think so. Should we start with mine or yours?
Let's start with yours.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about the one and done rule. What's your thoughts on the one and done rule, Benjamin?
You know, it's an interesting topic. I lean towards abolishing it. I think that some high school players really can just go straight to the pros. And I think it's more of a matter of just how improperly like the NCAA handles it.
Oh, yeah.
But then it's interesting that the NBA would get to make the decision. I don't know. It's weird to me how the NBA is the one that's roadblocking the players and forcing them to go into the NCAA and kind of take this not really great route. But then there was the recent developments of, like, for the G League, like, elite prospects being able to get paid like $100,000 a year or something like that to play in the G League. But I really don't know if that's a better track record, because sure, like, it's nice because you're making money at that point, But I really think that more development could come through a college season than one season in the G League, because then you're throwing like a 17, 18 year old playing against 25 to 30 year olds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think that's a good progression either necessarily. I don't know, but then you could argue that would do good for them to go straight to the NBA. I don't know. What are your thoughts on it?
All right, so here's my thoughts. So I like the way that the MLB handles their draft. So you can go into the draft right after high school. But if you go to college, you have to wait until you're done with your junior year to enter your name into the MLB draft. So I feel like that would be a good way to do it with the NBA. So it's like you could go right after high school. But if you go to college, you have to stay for 3 years at least. So I kind of like the way that that's done. You know, it kind of still keeps the integrity of college basketball alive. But it also gives them the option of going straight to the NBA, which I think is good, because a lot of those guys, like, they don't want to go to college, and they know that they're just going to be done after 1 year anyway. So, like, what's the point of that? And also, I think a thing about the G League, like, offering $100,000 or whatever, I feel like a lot of those players, like those really elite guys, get paid maybe close to that anyway, under the table by those universities. Like, I mean, honestly, from, like, you know, Kansas or Louisville or whatever, I feel like they definitely get paid about that amount. Also, playing a year in the G League, there's like almost no exposure there. You're guaranteed to get more exposure going to a high profile university. So, like, let's say you're going to Kansas or Louisville or Kentucky or Michigan State, you're going to get more opportunities there than you will in the G League. So I still feel like that might be more appealing.
Oh yeah, that's 100% true. I don't know if I necessarily agree with you about the college baseball comparison, because then I feel like so many players would just go straight out of, I think too many players would go straight out of high school then.
Yeah.
Because they would see, why would I want to, you're right, a lot of these players who are one and dones don't want to be in college. They don't want to spend that year there. So why would I force myself to say 3 years there now? But I don't think all of those players are ready to make that jump to the NBA, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think for like each high school class, I would say like maybe 3 to 5 would be good enough to be like drafted out of high school. Whereas if you had a rule where you, like college baseball, where you had to stay until your junior year, I don't know how many players would do that instead of going to college.
Yeah, I mean, and that is kind of what happens with high schoolers in the MLB draft. I mean, there are countless high schoolers that go straight to the MLB. But also, I think it might be a good idea as well, so that maybe for high schoolers, they could first see where they get drafted, and then they could choose maybe if they wanted to go to college or not. Like, if they didn't get drafted in the spot that they thought they wanted to, maybe then they could choose to go to college after that. I'm not really sure how that would work with like technicalities or anything, but they do that with MLB. Like, it's possible for a guy to say like, yeah, I don't think I'm gonna sign with you, and then they're like, okay, well then I guess I just won't draft you, you know. I follow the MLB quite extensively as well, so I compare a lot of like the drafting scenarios to the MLB, but they're different sports, obviously, so you probably can't like fairly compare them. But
yeah, because I would think that the reason for that is, you know, MLB has such an in-depth farm system where, you know, you, these high schoolers who get drafted, they have this system in place where they can go to the minors and develop, whereas the MLB or the NBA, excuse me, is way behind in that, with the D League and now known G League is very new and just it's not really a good development league, even though that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, it definitely isn't.
And also just the sheer amount of rounds that are in the NBA, or the MLB, excuse me, how many roster spots are on an MLB roster. It's hard to compare, but I get the sentiment behind the comparison there.
Yeah, I think bottom line, though, like, you think something needs to change, right? Like, bottom line?
Yes. Whether it's altering the age limit, whether it's completely abolishing the age limit. I think it falls more on the NCAA for just being kind of like a corrupt, money-hungry organization.
Absolutely.
I think it'd be a different thing if like college athletes could be compensated in some way.
Mm-hmm.
That's where my biggest problem I think comes in. But in terms of the NBA, like they could step in and be like the savior and just say, if you want to come earn your living in the NBA right out of high school, give it a shot. Yeah, I just hope that there's a track where they could still go back to college or go play overseas if they don't get drafted after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like how you brought up the corrupt NCAA thing, because I completely agree with that. The NCAA has been proven time and time again to be a pretty corrupt organization. You know, there's guys like Miles Bridges or other really elite players that come in, you know, like Marvin Bagley to Duke or Jason Tatum or whatever, and they bring in millions of dollars to their university, and they're compensated with room and board and tuition, you know, but that's not really fair compensation. So it's just interesting to think about that for sure, just because of their made up definition of amateurism, which was actually invented by the NCAA. That our modern version of amateurism was actually created by the NCAA.
Nice. I did not know that.
Yeah, so.
Cool.
Sorry, that was just a little rant.
Yeah, so, sure, change needs to happen. We'll see if it happens. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, honestly. Maybe a 5-year timeline, but I think that's kind of optimistic.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, moving on to my topic. Who would you have dinner with in the NBA today?
I guess I'm going to start. Mine's a little boring. I'm picking LeBron. So, number one, because I want to ask LeBron, all right, bro, like, I'm assuming that he's going to answer whatever question I ask him. That's where this assumption is, this whole dinner party thing. So if I ask him, I'm like, all right, man, MJ and you, both of you guys in your prime, you both lace them up. You play one-on-one. Who's winning? I want to know the answer to that question.
Of course he's going to say himself. I mean,
You think so?
Yeah.
All right.
That doesn't mean that it's true, but...
Yeah, well, I want to know his answer to that. I'm a political science guy. I'm pretty into, like, social justice and that kind of thing. And so is LeBron. So I'd like to ask him about that kind of thing for sure. Plus, I just think it would be interesting to learn a little bit more about his background, you know, like, from him. Because he has such an interesting background. So I'd really like to learn about that as well. But, yeah, I'd like to eat with LeBron.
I mean, I think that's definitely the clear choice. I think I'm going to kind of cheat on mine, since I said anybody in the NBA.
Okay.
I didn't say players.
Oh, jeez.
So I'm going to go Brad Stevens.
Ooh. All right.
You know me. I'm an X's and O's guy.
Yes, you are.
I want to pick his brain. I want to know, like, how he comes up with these sets, how he thinks about rotations, and just, like, how he operates such a good Celtics team. I'm very intrigued. I'd love to, yeah, just sit down and talk with him about it.
Yeah, I feel like now that you bring that up, I'd love to sit down with Steve Kerr.
That's another good one.
Again, because of kind of like that social justice kind of thing, and talk about his background as well. He spent a lot of his childhood in the Middle East, and he can speak a few different languages, Steve Kerr can. So, like, I'd love to be able to talk to him. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I think LeBron would be... I would pick LeBron for those same reasons, where he's just a basketball savant. Also, shout out to Kyrie. I want to know if he actually thinks the world is flat or not.
That would be interesting.
He's also just my favorite player.
Yeah.
But he's such a quirky guy. I feel like he would be fun to have dinner with, and I just really want to know, like... what goes on in that brain to make him say and think those things.
Yeah, I also wouldn't mind if LeBron brought the rest of his goon squad. So, like, if Lance wanted to join, if JaVale and Rondo wanted to be there, that'd be pretty awesome. Because those guys are just freaking weird. So it'd be cool to see them, too.
Also, J.R. Smith.
Yup.
I want to know, like, what happened in the finals? Like, what happened? What was going through his head?
Yeah, like, I don't blame the guy. Everybody has, you know, those times in their life where they just, like, really screw up, and they don't even really know why. You know, like, Chris Webber calling the timeout. He knows that he shouldn't have called the timeout, but he still did it. You know, that's like a human thing that we just do sometimes, and it sucks, but it happens.
The Henny also helps.
He's off the Henny. Dude, all you'd have to do, give him a little Henny, and he'll tell you everything.
Yeah, but at that point, he might forget to pay the bill.
Facts. You can't afford that bill.
Oh, man. Hopefully he would have a shirt on.
Oh, yeah. If you tell him, yeah, JR, you got to wear your shirt to this restaurant, he'd be like, oh, I'm not coming. Never mind.
I think that's worth it, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely. All right. I think we're probably done for the day, guys. We're getting a little loopy. Do you have any last things to add, Benjamin?
Sorry for just kind of like an oddball episode. We'll be better next week, probably, hopefully, or not. Maybe we're just losing it.
Yeah, maybe we are, but we changed up our recording day. We're just off a break. It was a really weird time, but we wanted to get our episode out there so you guys can have something, you know, because we know that you miss us so much. So we wanted to get something out there.
Yeah, so make sure you leave a review again. Again, if you leave a review, we will read it on the podcast.
Indeed.
Give us a rating, follow us on the socials, all that good jazz.
All right, guys, it's been a lot of fun.
See you next week.